Welcome back. Here we are praying with scripture again in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Happy 4th of July, especially to all of you who are in the audience that may be from the United States of America. Happy Independence Day. I don't have anything special planned, nothing exciting, just going to be hanging around at home, contemplating the gift of the United States of America and trying to make some discernments. In fact, that brings us discernments about what God may be inviting me or calling me to do, some opportunities, what things I should pursue. So that brings us, fits very well with formation in discernment, which is the Pope's prayer intention for this month of the precious blood of Jesus, month dedicated to honoring the sacrifice of Christ's life, the very precious blood of Jesus Christ. So the monthly intention the Pope had proposed is, let us pray that we might again learn how to discern, how to choose paths of life and reject everything that leads us away from Christ and the gospel. All right, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We pray for that. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effect of grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We have our shortened form of the Divine Office and a special prayer at the end, just a short collect, special collect prayer that celebrates the gift of the founding of our nation. So it's actually really cool. I love this every time we have a Mass or an office or a rosary or a public prayer or something, to use that collect prayer. You know, we don't have Masses, but I attend Masses. That's what I meant. We groan in pain as we await the redemption of our bodies, and we're going to pray Psalm 39. I said, I will be watchful of my ways, for fear I should sin with my tongue. I will put a curb on my lips when the wicked man stands before me. I was dumb, silent, and still. His prosperity stirred my grief. My heart was burning within me. At the thought of it, the fire blazed up, and my tongue burst into speech. O Lord, you have shown me my end. How short is the length of my days. Now I know how fleeting is my life. You have given me a short span of days. My life is as nothing in your sight. A mere breath, the man who stood so firm. A mere shadow, the man passing by. A mere breath, the riches he hoards, not knowing who will have them. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We groan in pain as we await the redemption of our bodies. Hear and answer my prayer, O Lord. Let me not weep in vain. Thank you for all the blessings that you've given in this ministry. And now, O Lord, what is there to hope? What is there to wait for? In you rests all my hope. Set me free from all my sins. Do not make me the taunt of the fool. I was silent, not opening my lips, because this was all your doing. Take away your scourge from me. I am crushed by the blows of your hand. You punish man's sins and correct him. Like the moth, you devour all he treasures. Mortal man is no more than a breath. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, turn your ear to my cry. Do not be deaf to my tears. In your house I am a passing guest, a pilgrim like all of my fathers. Look away that I may breathe again before I depart to be no more. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hear and answer my prayer, O Lord. O Lord, let me not weep in vain. Then we have the beautiful readings, the important readings. My son, take my words to heart. Do as I say, and you will live. Readings, first reading. First reading from the second book of Samuel, chapter 7. The messianic prophecy of Nathan is the caption. When King David had settled in his place, and the Lord had given him rest from his enemies on every side, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God dwells in a tent." Nathan answered the king, "Go, do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that night the Lord spoke to Nathan and said, "Go, tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, should you build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day on which I led the Israelites out of Egypt to the present, but I have been going about in a tent under cloth. In all my wanderings, everywhere among the Israelites, did I ever utter a word to any of the judges whom I charged to shepherd my people Israel, to ask, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, speak thus to my servant David. The Lord of hosts has this to say, 'It was I who took you from the pasture and from the care of the flock to be commander of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you went, and I have destroyed all your enemies before you, and I will make you famous like the great ones of the earth. I will fix a place for my people Israel. I will plant them so that they may dwell in their place without further disturbance. Neither shall the wicked continue to afflict them, as they did of old, since the time I first appointed judges over my people Israel. I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also reveals to you that he will establish a house for you. And when your time comes and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your heir after you, sprung from your loins, and I will make his kingdom firm. It is he who shall build a house for my name, and I will make his royal throne firm forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. And if he does wrong, I will correct him with the rod of men and with human chastisements, but I will not withdraw my favor from him as I withdrew it from your predecessor Saul, whom I removed from my presence. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall stand firm forever." Nathan reported all these words and this entire vision to David. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, Lord God, and who are the members of my house, that you have brought me to this point? Yet even this you see is too little, Lord God. You have spoken of the house of your servant for a long time to come. This too you have shown to man, Lord God. What more can David say to you? You know your servant, Lord God. For your servant's sake, and for as you have had at heart, you have brought about this entire magnificent disclosure to your servant. And so, great are you, Lord God. There is none like you, and there is no God but you, just as we have heard it told. What other nation on earth is there like your people, which God has led, redeeming it as his people, so that you have made yourself renowned by doing this magnificent deed, and by doing awe-inspiring things? You have cleared nations and their gods out of the way of your people, which you redeemed for yourself from Egypt. You have established for yourself your people Israel as yours forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. And now, Lord God, confirm for all time the prophecy you have made concerning your servant and his house, as you have promised, and do as you have promised." Responsory prayer. The angel Gabriel spoke to Mary and said, "You will conceive and bear a son, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor, David. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever. The Lord swore an oath to David, from which he will not withdraw. I will set your own son upon your throne. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever." Second reading from a book on the predestination of the saints by St. Augustine, Bishop. The greatest glory of predestination and grace is the Savior himself, the mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. What, I ask, did his human nature do in the way of good works or of faith to merit beforehand this glory? Give me an answer to this question. How did his humanity merit to be taken up by the Word, co-eternal with the Father, into unity with his person, and so to be the only begotten Son of God? What goodness of whatever kind did he possess beforehand? What had he done? What faith had he shown? What request had he made that he should attain to this point of preeminence beyond all human power of description? Was it not through the action of the Word in taking this humanity to himself that this moment, when he came into existence, this human being came into existence as the only Son of God? We must keep before our eyes the very source of grace, taking its origin in Christ our head, and flowing through all his members according to the capacity of each. The grace which makes any man a Christian from the first moment of his coming to believe is the same grace which made this man, the Christ, from his coming to be as man. The Spirit through whom men are reborn is the same Spirit through whom Christ was born. The Spirit by whom we receive forgiveness of sins is the same Spirit who brought it about that Christ knew no sin. Clearly, God knew that he would do all this. The predestination of the saints is the same predestination that reached its greatest glory in the saint above all other saints. Who can deny this among those who understand correctly the utterances of truth? For we have been taught that inasmuch as the Son of God became man, the Lord of glory himself was the object of predestination. Jesus then was predestined. He who was to be the Son of David in his human nature was to be the Son of God in power through the action of the Spirit of holiness, for he was born of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. This unique taking to himself of a human nature by God, the Word, came about in such a way, too mysterious for understanding, that with truth and accuracy the Word could be called at once and the same time, at one and the same time, the Son of God and the Son of Man. Son of man because of the human nature that was taken, and Son of God because it was the only begotten God who took that human nature. We are not to believe in God as a quaternity, but as a trinity. Human nature was in this case predestined to that marvelous, so sublime, so perfect a dignity that it could not be raised higher, just as the divine nature itself could not demean itself any lower than by taking human nature with all its weakness, even to dying on a cross. Just as one Christ was predestined to be our head, so we, the many, were predestined to be his members. Let there then be no mention here of human merits. They are lost through Adam. They were lost through Adam. Let God's grace reign supreme, as it does through Jesus Christ our Lord, the only Son of God, the one Lord. If anyone can find in Christ our head any merits preceding his unique birth, he may also look for merits in ourselves, preceding our rebirth as his many members. Responsory prayer. God sent his Son into the world, born of a virgin, subject to the law, to redeem those who were subject to the law. Because of his great love for us, God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful human nature, to redeem those who were subject to the law. We groan in pain as we await the redemption of our bodies. Sorry, that was our antiphon earlier. So that's our shortened divine office. I don't know if you feel like taking a look at any of the mass readings today. What are we at, 13 minutes? This is the special collect prayer, the one that I love each year when we celebrate our country. Father of all nations and ages, we recall the day when our country claimed its place among the family of nations. For what has been achieved, we give you thanks. For the work that still remains, we ask your help. As you have called us from many peoples to be one nation, grant that under your providence our country may share your blessings with all the peoples of the earth. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. So it's an understated passage, especially when you don't know. So anyway, This is a really important passage. Today the church gave us a really important reading. It's a reading that's still cherished by Jews and Christians and revered as one of the most important moments within the story of David. So this is, among all the readings we've done of David, this has got to stand out as one of the most loved and important moments for the people, because people are going to link themselves with the house of David. The whole covenant community of Israel is going to be linked with them. All these people in Israel are going to, you know, even today, they have the Star of David on the flag of the Jewish state. And the reason why? Because David is central to the identity, the mission, and the history, and kind of the vocation of Israel. Like with Abraham's covenant, so this is a covenant-making moment, and it's a covenant-completing and confirming moment. Like with Abraham's covenant with God, or rather, God's covenant with Abraham, you know, there were two steps. First, he received the promise and it was called on a journey, called on this adventure, come out from your homeland, take your family, go to a land that I will show you. And then, later on, after journeying, walking with the Lord, learning the way of faith, putting into practice for many years, walking and working in faith, he receives this covenant, right? God appears to him and he sacrifices the animals. And God makes, you know, binds himself in this ancient way to say, may so-and-so happen to me just this way if I don't bless Abraham in exactly this way. And this is kind of similar to that in the covenant of David. Because of Abraham's faithfulness in walking with Israel's God, he was rewarded with that confirmation, and David is also rewarded for his faithfulness in this astonishingly great promise about his descendant and about an eternal monarchy, a house that God will build for David's dynastic family, which is ultimately God's way of bringing to the full and perfect fulfillment Israel's call to holiness and mission. Ultimately, this descendant and family of David will be seen in the Bible fulfilling God's intentions that all the nations be blessed or bless themselves by Abraham. Today we celebrate this really big day, cultural, like holiday, cultural, ritual celebration of Independence Day, when we got our own nation and we took our own direction as a nation, called out from all peoples and separated from Great Britain. I really liked how the Holy Spirit was central to St. Augustine's reflection. He says that the source of Christ's becoming incarnate and the source of the Word becoming flesh is also the source of our new birth, our water and the Holy, our baptism and our conversion, our water and the Holy Spirit. So he links this experience of grace very closely with the Holy Spirit. And the readings from the Mass were also about Abraham, which makes that a nice little linkage, or at least the first reading was. But I'll read you the Gospel reading since we have a few extra minutes. So the Mass reading, the Gospel, the reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the customs post. He said to him, "Follow me," and he got up and followed him. While he was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with Jesus and his disciples. The Pharisees saw this and said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" He heard this and said, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. Go and learn the meaning of the words, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice.' I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The Gospel of the Lord. And again, there's just a very long reading about Abraham sending his servant to acquire Rebekah to be, to, you know, a woman, to get a wife for his son Isaac, the son of the promise, the descendant of that promise. But anyway, I hope that you enjoyed that. I offer my partial indulgence for the soul in purgatory during this year of hope, and I hope that you are continuing to do well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Like I said, that prayer is not on your, it's not on your behalf, it's just kind of me publicly praying the prayer of blessing, at least according to Father Chris Aylar, who was kind of the resident expert on indulgences. The church actually doesn't want us to try to get indulgences by accident, but wants it to be on purpose. So that's kind of why I always try to have like an awareness of which things, like teaching a catechism class, or reflecting on sacred scripture, there's an indulgence for. Try to link that and integrate that into your sacramental participation. And it's not anything draconian. It's just that the church, in your great authority, can pray for us and also bless us and give us this blessing that goes along with some good things that we do, provided we're trying to do it in the right spirit. So I hope you're having a great day. And it's not only for the, it's only for yourself or for some deceased soul in purgatory. So that's just how the system is kind of in its current form. That's the way it is. I hope that you're doing great. Hope that you're going to have a good day. And I hope God gives me wisdom, because he's brought me to this point. And it's a wonderful, exciting point. And it's also a point where there's a lot of kind of, okay, have to get ready, have to convert, have to do decisions. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.